Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from coast of the Carolinas by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back here to discuss all things UFC. This is the Fistful of Cash podcast. I am your host, Dale Lippin, in here with the number 3 ranked George Michael impersonator from the band itself, Soupy and the Careless Whispers. Soup, what's going on, man?
So I was hoping you were going to do the whole co-hostess with the mostest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I go to weekly trivia, and I actually found out what the hostess with the mostest is from. It's from an old AT&T skit where the lady was like an operator that plugged, like, you know, to the old, like, what are those called? What are those boards called?
Circuit board.
Yes. Yeah. She operated the old circuit board, and when she answered, she said, "Hello, this is Lily, the hostess with the mostest," and I learned that at trivia this week. So, I learn a lot. I'm learning a lot of stuff at trivia.
Right.
I feel like I'm, you know, broadening my horizons. It's fantastic.
I bet. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're back. We had the 1 year anniversary episode last week. Pretty wild, man. It's been a whole year since we started this thing.
Yeah, I actually think this would be my 1 year. Because I missed the first episode, because the first episode, I believe, was the Henry Cejudo Mighty Mouse fight.
Yes. Correct? Yes.
Yeah. So started out with a plus 400 winner. That was cool.
It was a nice little gas in the tank. Yeah.
But yeah. And then I think I actually came on to the next episode. So happy 1 year to myself. Happy 1 year to Fistful of Cash. It's pretty cool, man.
And football's coming back.
Oh, August 24th. That's college football. That's the start of college. And then, man, week one, Patriots-Steelers.
Might as well do it right.
I can't wait.
Might as well do it right. All right. So let's see here. We've got UFC Uruguay this weekend. I know normally these overseas cards are pretty avoidable, and I don't necessarily think that that's the narrative for this one, because there's some good fights on this card, man.
I love this card.
Yeah, I'm like, really, you know, the more I look at it, the more I'm actually like really starting to dig it. So I know we got some strong feelings about plays for this card. So let's just jump right into it. What do you think?
Yeah. I want to get you all riled up and fired up before we cover this card.
Okay.
Real quick. Did you see what Max Kellerman said?
No, hold on. Wait, we want to do this now? Cause it's yep. All right.
Yep.
Tell me what Max Kellerman said.
So the NBA put out their all decade teams.
Yeah.
First team all decade, second and third team. Kobe was the captain of third team all decade. Max Kellerman, you know, being the basketball aficionado that he is, went out and said on First Take, which First Take is the most unreputable show out there because it's Max Kellerman and Ryan Clark, who used to play safety for the Steelers. Why they're talking about basketball, I have no idea. But Max Kellerman went out and said that he doesn't think Kobe Bryant's on the all-decade team for our third team all-decade. He said he's on the all-decade worst team.
What? Okay. He's a fucking idiot. He's so stupid. He's so stupid. And did he grace us with who he thought should have been in that spot instead?
I didn't watch the episode of First Take. I saw the clip. The girl that hosted it walked off the stage and said, "Goodbye, Max. I'm not listening to you anymore."
Yeah.
And then he then went on to mess up Kobe Bryant's stats, saying he only averaged 22 points per game. He actually averaged 24.7 in 2010 through 2016, where he was the six-time All-Star. Granted, the All-Star game is a popularity vote, but he still averaged almost 25 points per game through the final six seasons of his career. Max Kellerman, genius.
Yeah.
But UFC Uruguay.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go from that. That's just blanked my mind. Whatever. All right. Kicking off the main card, Enrique Barzola versus Bobby the Wolfman Moffitt. Barzola sitting at 15-4-1 and Moffitt sitting at 14-4. Looking at betting lines. Let's see here. Currently seeing Moffitt at a +120, Barzola at a -150. I think you and I are both in agreement here that we really like Bobby Moffitt at this price.
Yeah. Barzola's, he's 5-2 in his last seven fights, but I think they've all come via decision. And when it comes to Bobby Moffitt, I love his submission. I love his chokes. If there's a such thing as a loose cannon as far as submissions go. You know what I mean? Like you have loose cannons on stand up. Bobby Moffitt's a loose cannon when it comes to submissions. He'll throw everything and anything at you. And, he's got his last three wins are by Darce choke. He's more active. I think Barzola is going to be, more laid back. And I think that that's going to play in Bobby Moffitt's strengths. And I think he'll be able to take him down and hopefully submit him.
Yeah. I don't think that, despite Moffitt's struggle with Bryce Mitchell, he won via Darce choke against Chaz Skelly, and Chaz Skelly has very underrated wrestling. Barzola is going to come at him with a wrestle heavy attack. And I think that, like you said, Moffitt's going to be ready for it. Just based off of Barzola's ability to get fights the distance, I'm not necessarily, super sold. We'll have to wait and see what the over under on rounds come for that. It might be worth looking into. What do you think?
Yeah.
But I like Moffitt. What I say was +125, something like that. +120.
+120. Yeah.
That's great value for him. Absolutely great value. All right. Next fight on the card. Oscar Paichada coming in 11-1-1, taking on the black belt hunter himself, Rodolfo Vieira. And Vieira by a landslide, yeah.
Yeah, this is probably the easiest, outside of Shevchenko. I think this is the easiest fight on the main card to pick. He is the textbook definition of a world-class jiu-jitsu artist. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The guy's won Worlds at Abu Dhabi like seven times. He's won Pan Am America. He looks like he's got like the build of Jacare, which is really odd for a guy who was strictly jiu-jitsu before coming to MMA. And he doesn't have like an amateur wrestling background at all. I think it's probably going to be like a first round submission. I think he's going to get on top of him and just be an athletic powerhouse and get him out of there.
-225. We'll have to wait and see if that line moves at all. See if we get some late money coming in the wrong way and maybe drive that price down a little bit. Be able to get him for a better deal than that -225, but definitely somebody on the card that we need and want to pay attention to moving forward. So let's see. Third time's a charm, man. Aliyah Latifi, 14-6, taking on Volkan Ozdemir at 15-4. Ozdemir's big thing for the longest time is that he had no time, and now it seems like that is true. And yet again, he has got to get a W here, man, or his time might run out in the UFC. And that's tough to say in a very light heavyweight division. What do you think?
Oh, for sure. The pressure's on him. I mean, this, like you said, he has to win this fight. And I don't think he's going to.
Well,
I think Latifi has a stronger ability to control the pace of a fight than Ozdemir does. And I think if he can weather the first 3-4 minutes of Ozdemir, just like Anthony Smith did, we know his power is going to—it's not going to disappear, but it's going to diminish. And that gas tank of Volkan Ozdemir is not good at all.
Yeah,
and Latifi's definitely a superior wrestler. So if he can stay out of the clinch, because that's where Ozdemir is going to want to get him. I mean, that's where he's at his best, is in the clinch. If he can stay out of the clinch and Latifi can just get him down to the ground and use that, you know, brick shithouse frame that he is,
yep,
to wear on that gas tank, I think that he can, you know, drag him around for 3 rounds and win a decision here.
+115. I love him at that price. And, you know, Ozdemir is only sitting at -145, which would, you know, lead to the reason that the betting public and Vegas is sort of seeing how close this fight actually is. Whereas if you would have asked me 2 years ago, you know, when they first started trying to make this fight, who I thought was going to win, it would have been decidedly in the other direction. But the more we see of Ozdemir, the clearer picture we can get of his skill set. And I really think that Latifi, you know, is going to shore up the mistakes that he's made in the past and come and put a performance on here and really scramble up a light heavyweight division that is sort of without an identity outside of John Jones right now. I mean, obviously John Jones at the top of the heap, but really, you know, what else is left of the light heavyweight division? You know, who is the one to step up? And I think Latifi coming in and getting like a really strong finish or dominant, you know, a couple 10-8 rounds or something like that against Ozdemir can really muddy the waters at 205.
Yeah, so. I agree. I'm looking at Latifi's last 4 losses. The only one to be ashamed of is Corey Anderson.
We'll talk about him. We'll talk about him here in a minute. All right, let's move on. Humberto Bandinet, 14-6, taking on Luis Garagora at 12-0. Not a whole lot of info on Garagora out there other than he's one of the local guys, and he's taking on a very beatable Humberto Bandinet. Is Bandinet's big show experience going to come into play here, Soup? I mean, really, you know, we do see those first-time octagon jitters, and it's a first-time octagon experience at the first ever UFC event in your country. I mean, I feel like the adrenaline dump off that's going to be massive. Is, you know, do you think Bandinet is somebody to worry about?
Nah, I mean, this is a tough fight to pick because unless you're digging, there's literally like zero tape on Garagori. But I'm with you. It's hard to pick against a young, extremely talented amateur now making his professional UFC debut. And he is he's got the home country. And Bandinet has looked underwhelming to say the least.
Right. Well, I mean, Garagor is 12-0. I mean, he's got fights, but we just don't know what level of competition he's sitting at. So, I mean, essentially, you know, you're right in that when you don't exist on the level that this guy is hard to find footage on, you might as well be 1-0. You know what I mean? So right. I get it. I like him at -130. The logic is matchmaking is try to hook him up with a more winnable fight than some, you know, other opponents that could have been there for him. So, you always want to rile up the merch sales and everything else by having the hometown kid pull out that W.
It's great for him, and it's even better for the UFC. And as much as I disagree with Dana White, sometimes he's not as, it's not as dumb as he
plays it right. Oh, he plays it right. He plays it right. All right, let's move on to the co-main event. Vicente Luque, 16-6-1, taking on your boy, Platinum Mike Perry, sitting at 13-4. And here's the thing, man. I'm just going to get this out of the way. All right. Mike Perry does really well against very technical fighters. And Luque is a very, very technical fighter.
Yeah.
So I think just looking at it, Mike Perry +175. I mean, if you were to compare Vicente Luque to anybody else at 155, who would you compare him to, like style wise?
Oh.
I'd say he fights a lot like Paul Felder.
Yeah. So. Man, I've been going back and forth on this all day because I think of Vicente Luque's fight against Nico Price, because Nico Price is a similar approach as Mike Perry.
Yeah.
And Luque played that perfect. He waited. He didn't engage in a brawl, which is what Mike Perry's going to need. He's going to need Luque to, you know, engage in a brawl. But then I think to Vicente Luque's fight against Jalen Turner, where I actually think Jalen Turner was winning that fight until he got caught in the first round. He looked really good for the first 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I go to Vicente Luque's fight against Brian Barberena, where he looked super technical again. It's just, but how do I go against Mike Perry? Speaking of as dumb as he looks, Mike Perry, yeah.
That's, yeah.
He is right there.
Yeah.
I have to ride Perry as a decent sized dog. I have to. I know Vicente Luque is probably the smart play, but Mike Perry being the wild card and the way he looked in his last fight, oh my goodness. It was a totally different Mike Perry than what we saw against Cowboy.
Yeah. No, he looked good. He looked good. I mean, look,
you're really good against Alex Oliveira. Really good.
Yeah. And, you know, won that split decision against Paul Felder. You know, 170. I think that, man, I'm with you in that it's really hard to pick what kind of fight you think you're going to see when you're picking a Mike Perry fight. And I don't know, man, I have this like weird sneaky suspicion that he's somehow going to be like Brian Barberena and lure Luque into a brawl in the later rounds. And Mike Perry's power is not going to go anywhere. So,
and his chin's not going to go anywhere either. Yeah. You know, so I'm debating picking Mike Perry or Vicente Luque, not based off the odds. And if I'm 50-50 on who I'm going to pick, not based off the odds, then I should definitely take the dog at +170. So yes, Mike Perry at +170.
All right. I'll get on board with that. Okay. Cause otherwise I'll overthink this fight into oblivion. All right. Main event. I mean, it's, you know, we're going with Shevchenko, obviously. Valentina Shevchenko versus Liz Carmouche, the rematch. And Shevchenko 17-3, Carmouche 13-6. So I got to ask, you know, I've seen a lot of people saying that this fight going the distance is a really safe play because of Carmouche's durability and the fact that despite the fact that everybody views Shevchenko as a finisher, there's a lot she's gone to decision a lot. So, you know, maybe there's something there, but I really think that head kick on Jessica Eye is going to have her rejuvenate. I think she's going to come out for blood again. I really like maybe playing inside the distance for this fight, because we got to find a way to make, you know, find value in it.
Yeah. And yes, Carmouche has gone the distance in her last seven fights, but they've all been 3-round fights.
Right.
Haven't been 5-round fights. So what can we expect from her in rounds 4 and 5? Shevchenko's fights that went 5 rounds, if I'm not mistaken, it was the decision over Joanna.
Yes.
The loss to Amanda Nunes.
Yes.
And when she beat Holly Holm, correct?
Yes. And that both losses to Nunes were a unanimous decision.
But the first Nunes fight wasn't for a belt. That was just a 3-round fight.
No, it wasn't.
Fight, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm getting 5-round fights. Is Liz Carmouche to the caliber of Joanna, Amanda Nunes, and Holly Holm 3 years ago? Holly Holm, not the current Holly Holm.
Right.
No, she's not. So no. I know, like, going the distance is like a +125 or whatever it is.
Right.
But I think you're not getting any value on just taking Shevchenko at a -1300 or whatever. So
right.
I would, yeah, inside the distance, it should be like a -150 if the decision is +125.
Right. Yeah. Somewhere
I mean,
there.
Yeah, I like that. I like Shevchenko's chances, because even if she stands there and she's super technical and just picks Carmouche apart, I think after 3.5-4 rounds of Shevchenko hitting you in the face, there's a good chance that you go down. Real good chance.
Well, Carmouche's style is very energy depleting. I mean, she's wrestle heavy. And if Shevchenko's strong and able to, you know, provide the adequate amount of resistance to that, Carmouche is going to gas sooner rather than later. And there's nothing worse than sucking for air and just getting punched in the face over and over again. So I like inside the distance a lot for this fight. The more I'm talking about it, the more I'm looking at it, I'm really starting to like it. I'll be anxious to see what that line comes out at.
But like you said, with Carmouche being, you know, an energy depleting style of fighting, somebody needs to keep tabs on Uriah Faber during this fight, because I'm still not convinced that Liz Carmouche is not Uriah Faber with a ponytail. I mean,
yeah,
she looks just like him. It's scary. Like, dude, it's scary.
They need a 23 in me.
Yeah. Speaking of Uriah Faber, I saw you commented on a post today, something, you know, Frank Yeager dropping down to bantamweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uriah Faber, Frank Yeager. Yes, please.
Yeah. I mean, I know that their first fight was not exciting. I'll give it that. But you've got two guys that are trying to reinvent their careers, trying to make, you know, claims for title shots. And the name value alone for something like that, make that an MSG fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Faber and, how's this for a potential matchup or a potential lineup for a pay-per-view? So you go to the MSG card, you have John Jones versus whatever light heavyweight you want to throw in there with him. Then you take Usman and Covington and let them fight there. And then the middle, whatever, the three slot, you could have Uriah Faber, Frankie Edgar.
What else was on? And speaking of that, the fight that was announced a couple days ago that we're super excited for, and we're going to go back to Corey Anderson here, is hopefully Johnny Walker decapitating him by head kick. Well, it would be so sweet to watch Corey Anderson get knocked out on a card that John Jones is on.
Yeah.
Just because of how he's been chirping about how he deserves a title shot, blah, blah, blah. if Johnny Walker went in there and...
Oh, that's announced for MSG, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Okay. So, yeah, let's do John Jones versus some random light heavyweight. Usman versus Covington. Put that in the three slot. Put Frankie versus Uriah in the four slot. And then you just need one more fight. And boom, that card is stacked. That'll do a million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, that's a loaded card.
That'll do a million buys. Yeah, that's good.
You wanted to touch on Dom Reyes, Chris Weidman.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know why the UFC hates Chris Weidman all of a sudden. They hyped that dude up like he was a second coming of Jesus himself for years, and now all of a sudden they're just feeding him to monsters. And why on earth would you take knockout prone, 11 brain cells being held together by Gorilla Glue, Chris Weidman, and have him fight Dom Reyes? What on earth are they thinking, man?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know that was aggressive. I'm just saying that's ridiculous. Why do you hate him so much? Like, if you're the UFC, you're trying to get rid of Chris Weidman is what you're doing. You have to be. I mean, he must be annoying, or like send Dana White like straight dad memes or something. You know what I mean? I don't know why they hate him so much, but dude, that's a terrible matchup for him. And I like Ray Longo and Matt Serra, but that's poor fighter management right there.
Okay, so we'll go back to when Chris Weidman, burst on the scene.
Yeah.
Knocks out Anderson Silva while Anderson Silva's being cocky. Cool. Checks a leg kick. Anderson Silva snaps his leg.
Yes.
Okay. He beats an aging Lyoto Machida. Okay.
Correct.
He beats an aging Vitor Belfort. Okay.
Also correct.
And then he gets knocked out by Luke Rockhold, gets knocked out by Yoel Romero, gets knocked out by Gegard Mousasi, beats Kelvin Gastelum. Good for him. And then gets
You beat 170, right. A logistic welterweight. A welterweight with a bad diet. Yeah.
And then he gets knocked out by Jacare. So 4-1 in his last five fights. When he won the belt, I get you're supposed to check leg kicks and all that, but both his wins over Anderson Silva, I would consider flukes. And then he's got Lyoto Machida in an old Vitor Belfort, and then he goes 4-1.
1-4.
One and four, that's what I meant. Yeah. So not impressive at all. So I can't blame them for trying to get rid of him. I mean, the guy, I would assume he still sells tickets because of his name. Because of, yes, he beat Anderson Silva twice, but yeah, it's not looking good for him in the past, 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's what I don't understand is it's like the knockouts that he suffered too were bad knockouts. Like
Luke Rockhold. Flying knee by Yoel.
Yeah, I was getting a baseball bat. Yeah. And then the Luke Rockhold one, he got busted up and beat up to oblivion into that. And then the Jacare one, dude, when Jacare punched him in the forehead and his whole body froze up, what on earth? I don't know, man. It just seems like the craziest thing to feed him to a shark like Dom Reyes, but whatever, man. I'm sure after he loses the Reyes fight, Bellator will be happy to sign him and put him right back in there against Gegard Mousasi where he can get knocked out again. And then we'll get Chris Weidman versus Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen will come back and wrestle Chris Weidman, the American gangster versus the All-American. And on Bellator 297 in 18 months. I'm telling you, I'm calling it now. I'm calling my shot now. In the next 2 years, Chael Sonnen and Chris Weidman fight in Bellator. Hot take.
Oh, your fifth fight for the MSG card.
It better be Gregor versus.
No, it's already announced. Oh. I don't know why we didn't mention this. Oh, it's Blagoy Ivanov versus my balls is hot, Derek Lewis.
Oh, yep. There you go. That could be a featured prelim, dude.
Oh. Derek Lewis and MSG? I don't know.
All right. Yeah, it's not going to be a featured prelim.
You got to throw.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm looking at this. It's on a website, and people commented on it. And some guy commented, the only two announced fights are Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker, and Derek Lewis and Ivanov. And this guy comments and said, New York judges really are that bad. So what do? Set up fights that won't need them. Derek Lewis will haymaker Ivanov into some different dimension. And Johnny Walker, thank God we might see the death of Corey Anderson.
Jeez, oh man. Shout out to that dude. That was his take, not ours.
Yes.
Golly. All right.
Oh boy.
All right, let's do some house cleaning here. Let's see here. Let's go best episode or best or overview of cities and downloads. That's what I want. Goodness gracious, get your life together. I'll tell you what, man. What do you make of this Robbie Lawler situation while I'm pulling this up? So Robbie's just done, right? That's what it is. That's what we saw with the Colby fight is just Robbie's just done. Because I don't know how I had myself so convinced that isn't how that was going to go. And man, when you're wrong, you're wrong. And I was wrong a lot.
I as well thought Robbie Lawler would win the fight. But I'm a realist, and I think it might be our bias towards Colby Covington, because what he put on, the show he put on was perfect. I mean, it was phenomenal. He looked amazing, and it wasn't completely what I expected if he was going to win the fight. It wasn't, you know, like he did to, to RDA. When he laid him prepared up against the cage.
Yeah.
Yes. Against RDA. He landed a ton of shots. And as soon as Lawler even got close, it wasn't even Colby Covington wasn't trying to knock him out. It was just putting his hands on him.
Yeah.
Just enough to disrupt him. And it was a picture perfect game plan. And he executed it.
I was reminded of with that fight was the Usman Woodley card. Cause if you remember going into the Usman Woodley fight, I was like, man, I really feel like Usman's going to just dominate Woodley. But every single time I bet against Tyron Woodley, he just finds a way to win and just look, you know, untouchable in doing it. And we were like, I'm just like, all right, Woodley's the play. And then it turned out being the other way around. And then in the back of my mind with this fight, I thought, man, it's going to be the same thing. Covington's just going to go out there, put a pace on Robbie, and it's just going to be ridiculous. He's just going to lay on him he's going to blanket him for five rounds. But like the more I started talking about Robbie and his accomplishments and everything else, I was like, no, 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 no. Robbie's going to do this. It was the same thing that I did with the Woodley Usman fight. Same exact thing. Usman versus Covington is going to be fantastic. I just want both guys to stay healthy to actually get there to make it happen. It's going to be such a good fight.
Is Woodley gonna fight again?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
or is he gonna focus on his music career?
I mean,
that ass beating he took, that was one of the most dominating, like most lopsided title fights.
Yeah,
that went to decision that I've ever. I mean, Usman landed like 350 strikes to. Woodley's like 60 something.
Yeah, it was bad.
It wasn't even close, man. It was not even close.
Yeah, I think that I definitely think we see him again. I just don't know who he makes a case to fight. You know, nobody wants to see him fight Wonder Boy again. And everybody else, you know, in that division is sort of already committed for the foreseeable future. I don't really see a fight out there for him.
So Usman loses to Covington, Covington loses to Usman, and then we finally get the Tyron Woodley Colby Covington fight.
Sure,
I hope.
Sure, that's good. I like that.
But yeah, I mean he's getting tired. Damn, 37.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a late bloomer.
For sure, but he is an athletic freak. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, without question.
Big shout out to Stay Classy Meats for hooking us up. Appreciate you guys over at Stay Classy Meats. If you guys are interested in grass-fed, organic, no hormone, no antibiotic, straight ranch to table beef, and elk and pheasant and everything else that the good Lord created that you can eat and taste delicious, go over to stayclassymeats.com, use promo code FIST, and get 10% off your whole order. All right, Sue, you can only, we did 16 countries this last episode. You can only get Stay Classy Meats in one of them. What country is that?
America.
That's right. That's right. So I want to, so you've been doing really well, at trivia lately. And it's part of the trivia night thing. There's a lot of geography that you have to know, a lot of geography. Correct. You got to know. So let's see if you can name 16 countries, and have them be the 16 countries in which we've had downloads since, our last episode.
Okay. So obviously United States.
Correct.
Canada.
Yes.
Australia.
Yes.
There's going to be some crazy Middle Eastern country.
I'll tell you this. There are no Middle Eastern countries.
Wow. So these 16 countries, have I heard of all of them?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So we went, okay, we'll go with the big four English speaking. So we went America, Canada, Australia, the UK.
Yes.
Spain.
Yes.
Okay. Sweden. Did they come back?
No.
Damn it. I really lost them.
We really lost the Swedes. I lost them. We lost the Swedes.
All right. Go ahead. Read through them. I'm not going to try. All right. Guess
I'll Chile. This.
Yes.
Spain. We did that. Germany. Mm-hmm. Ireland. Hungary. The Philippines. Kenya. Macedonia. New Zealand. Europe. And Uruguay.
Europe's a continent.
I'm telling you, it's listed as one of the countries. We have the United Kingdom and Europe. That's just going by what it says. Okay.
Yeah, Macedonia, I definitely would have got that one. I should have kept guessing.
If you would have got to 15, I feel like everybody and their brother would have been just more than tickled pink with that. So
yeah, for sure.
Top cities, Victoria, British Columbia. Elwood City, Pennsylvania. Where's Elwood City at?
What up?
What up, Elwood? Coquimbo, Natick, Hanover, Ontario, Philadelphia, PA, New York, Charleston, South Carolina, Las Vegas, Chicago, Greenville, Massachusetts, the West End, Fort Lauderdale, West End, Queensland. Isn't that where Ty Tuivasa always reps? Is he always throwing that W up for West End in Queensland?
Maybe.
Denver, Colorado, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Let's get some obscure ones down here. Lynn, Massachusetts, San Gabriel, California, Saris, California, Toms River, New Jersey, Hackensack, New Jersey. And let's do Roanoke, Texas, Schaumburg, Illinois. Dude, there's a ton of these. Holy shit. Hamilton, New Jersey, Tempe, Arizona, Ashburn, Virginia. Dude, I'm not looking through any of these more. There's a ton of these. All right. Appreciate all you guys listening. Appreciate everybody that reached out to us on social media this last week. Soup, I got nothing left, man. I got nothing left. You got anything left? We're at 36 minutes.
Just football's coming up. And man, so you and I both know the struggles of being a baseball fan. Yes. And what the Pittsburgh Pirates put the city through for the 20 years straight.
Yeah.
Had a 3-year playoff run, never got out of the wild card game. And I'm going to give you a guess.
Okay.
What their record is since the All-Star break in 26 games.
I should know this, but I haven't been paying attention.
They are 4-22.
Yeah, there you go.
Since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That it's amazing. And they're down 8-3 right now against the Brewers in the top of the ninth. So make that 4-23 since the All-Star break. That's so bad.
Yes, it is.
That's so, as a professional team, it's so bad.
Yeah. Our record looks pathetic. Like we belong in Cleveland somewhere. It's terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, football season's right around the corner. Getting super pumped. Been doing a bunch of fantasy mock drafts, getting ready for that. and doing a ton of, not, I don't want to say research, but watching a lot of stuff on training camps.
Did you watch the first episode of Hard Knocks?
I have it taped. I'm actually going to sit down and watch it as soon as we're done here.
Okay. When's our fantasy draft too, by the way?
It is September 1st at 9:30 PM.
Okay. You have to call me at 9:27 and let me know.
Yeah, I will.
That's funny.
So for those of you who don't know, Dale finished last in the league and he got, we do like a, it's a keeper league. So it's same guys every year, keep players. So we do a lottery style draft and Dale was this year's New York Knicks.
Yes,
I would. He ended up getting the 5th overall pick when he had like a 35% chance at first overall out of 12 guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's good.
Yeah. So.
All right. That's all I got. I'm going to get something to drink and I'm going to bed. All right, man. Appreciate you guys.
As always, guys, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.